I'm Farai Chidea.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway. Rob Watson now, defense correspondent for the BBC World Service, to talk about a huge explosion outside a police building in the Pakistani city of Lahore. 23 people dead, 250 injured by the latest count. Rob, thanks for joining us. And what is the significance of this attack? It's certainly rippling across Pakistan this morning.
Well, good to be with you, John. I think there's two bits to the significance angle, and that is, one, the target, because the car bomb exploded very near to the offices of the National Intelligence Service, the ISI, the notorious ISI, and also very near to the headquarters of the local police chief. Now, as to the timing, one clearly has to see this against the backdrop of what is the most massive military operation that the Pakistani has mounted internally for over 30 years, which it's currently fighting in the northwest of the country.
Now, the Pakistani military is planning on opening a new front in this initiative against the Taliban. First of all, any Taliban claim of responsibility in this bombing? And, you know, how is the media in Pakistan covering this in terms of it being a possible reaction to the a military initiative against the Taliban in Swat?
Well, as far as I'm aware, John, nobody has yet claimed responsibility. But I think it would certainly be fair to say that the Pakistani authorities were expecting something like this. And if you think back to just over a week ago, there was a bomb outside a cinema, a car bomb outside a cinema in Peshawar, which is the capital, if you like, of Northwest Frontier Province, where this huge military campaign is going on. And I think it's fair to say that the authorities and indeed the Pakistani media were thinking, well, there are bound to be other retaliatory strikes. There are likely to be retaliatory strikes in Pakistan's other big cities.
Well, there's complexity here, and that's why we're grateful to have you on the air with us. The ISI, if I'm not mistaken, is known to have been a supporter of the Taliban during the Afghanistan experience. Is it possible that the ISI is working against the Taliban here? And is there a way of distinguishing between Afghan Taliban and Pakistani Taliban for the purposes of this particular incident?
Boy, is that the $64,000 question, and one, of course, that intelligence and military services in Western countries, in particular the United States and Britain, are constantly scratching their heads over all the time. There certainly is a feeling amongst Western analysts that perhaps at last the ISI has cut its links with the Taliban, both the Pakistan and Afghan side. But of course, as you rightly point out, there is a lot of history here, and it's well known that the ISI were instrumental in the formation of the Afghan Taliban, and that there are known to have been links between the ISI and the creation of various Islamist extremist groups inside Pakistan. So I guess if you asked, does anybody think that these links have been cut entirely, the answer would be no. Is there some sort of sense or some hope that the ISI has come to the conclusion that perhaps these people are more trouble than they're worth? Then certainly there is a hope that they have reached that kind of conclusion.
Rob, Ahmed Rashid writes in the New York Review of Books that Pakistan is on the brink. Meanwhile, the U.S. State Department suggests that this initiative against the Taliban is exactly what's needed. You want to call it brink or moving back towards stability before we go?
Well, I think just very briefly, there is a great deal of encouragement being taken in the West that the Pakistanis have mounted this counterinsurgency operation. But I guess people are clinging to the ends of their seats to see whether it works or not.
And we're with them all. Rob Watson, defense correspondent for our partners, the BBC World Service at Bush House in London. Thanks as always, Rob.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.